were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to us. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you'll take these words that Luke wrote thousands of years ago and that you'll make them real to us now. Thank you, Father, that your desire is to communicate with your children. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that as head of your church, you long to convey to us that which is on your heart. And Holy Spirit, thank you that you're given to empower us and to enable us to do what we've been called to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Just one word on the title, Essentials for Addition. It's not a recipe. So when you look at Acts chapter 2 and read verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And then we read on that they met together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. It says every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. A recipe, you know that if you put the ingredients in the correct order and in the correct quantity, then you'll get out, hopefully, what we intend together. These aren't ingredients for a recipe. They're essentials. We need each one of them, but we don't have to follow this like a recipe. You might think it's a bit far-fetched. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple court. So what would the equivalent be? The equivalent would be every day we meet together in Burview Hall or somewhere else. We don't do that. We don't do that for a number of reasons. We probably get a bit fed up with each other. Our employers wouldn't probably give us the time from work if that's what we wanted to do. And if we read a little later on in Acts, just a couple of chapters on in chapter 4, and verse 32. You read, all the believers were one in heart. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. If you read further on in Acts, their attitudes to each other didn't change, but their activities changed, because we read a bit later that they met together on the first day of the week. So something happened from meeting daily to then meeting weekly. And it was probably that the novelty wore off, or whatever it may be. It's not, what I'm saying is we don't have to follow this as if it's a recipe. We don't take these four and say, okay, well therefore we have to meet every day in the way that they did. Because things changed. Nellis and Helene mentioned that after 11 years, I forget his exact words, but I think what he was conveying was it's still as good as it was. But it's not the same as it was. For one reason, they have three children. It's not the same as it was. They're unable to do the leisure activities that they used to do when they were first married because they now have three children. And life is like that. But for them, for Nellis to be able to say that for him and Helene it's as good as it was, certain essentials have to be there. They have to be spending time with each other. Although that time may be restricted because of nappy changing or whatever else it may be, the essentials have to be there. So I'm not saying look at this passage and follow it as if it's a recipe. I'm just saying certain things are essential if we want God to add to our number. And we do want God to add to our number. Not for our sake, for his sake. Because the vision of this part of the body of Christ, the vision of Shofar, is to reach nations and generations through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. In other words, that's what we do. We reach nations and generations through those three means: disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. nothing that we do, let me phrase it another way, we should not do anything that doesn't fulfill that vision. If there's something that we're doing as a church, or maybe you're considering as a small group, that doesn't fulfill that vision, then don't. Because everything we do has to fulfill that vision. But like I said, their attitudes to each other stayed the same. Their activities may have changed, meeting from daily to weekly, but their attitudes were the same. And what we describe our attitudes together, collectively, corporately, as a church, our values describe our attitudes. So our values are, got two here and two outside, passion for Jesus, people to serve, power of belief, and purpose to pursue. So the way I remember them is all beginning with P, that's quite easy. The vowels of the alphabet, the English alphabet, apart from I. And that helps me to remember it's not about me. So P-A, passion, P-E, people, P-O, power, and P-U, purpose. We can leave the I because it's not about me, it's not about my purpose, it's not about my destiny. It's all about fulfilling the vision that God has given us. But we fulfill it not at all costs. We, in the fulfillment of that vision, must keep hold of each one of these values. Now, some of the things we do may serve one value more than another, but nothing we do can compromise any one of these values. So if you think that the way we do something does, then take it to God in prayer and then speak to whoever is in leadership over you. Because nothing we do can compromise any one of those values. So our activities, we make disciples, we develop leaders, we plant churches, those are our activities. And in terms of our attitudes, these values describe our attitudes. So we're just going to look just for a few moments. I talked about ingredients. Now, some people can be chefs without being overweight, but I can think of quite a few chefs who are overweight. I don't know whether at this time of year. I've got a little picture to show you, which is just it's a cartoon. There. Too much hair for me. I don't know whether, and especially at this time of year, I don't have a six pack like that, or pectoral muscles like this guy does. I think some of our young children have closer to a six pack than I do. I have one, it's just you can't see it. It's there. It's just waiting, it's hibernating or camouflaging itself. I just want you to look at this, and you can think of a female athlete if you'd rather. Just think about three things. Think about strengthening the core. Because if you've done any exercise, you'll know that some of the exercises that a trainer might give you are designed to strengthen your core. Now the core of what we do as church, and I'll show you how there's a biblical basis for it from this passage. The core of what we do is church services, intercession, and small groups. If we're looking to plant a congregation anywhere, those three things are the core. Now we add to that, we do more than that. We do Bible school, we have a spiritual growth series, which has become an encounter series, and it used to be a foundation series. But we do more than that, but these are the core. Church services, we meet on a Sunday, nothing special about a Sunday, just that most people don't have to go to work on a Sunday. It's the most convenient time to meet. It's not that we have to hold to that, but it's the most convenient day of the week on which to meet. We need church services when we congregate. And think of the head. Jesus is the head. And when we get together on a Sunday, it's all about him. That's why the first of our values is passion for Jesus. So when we meet together, we're the body coming together so that we can express a passion for Jesus, so that we can praise him, so that we can worship him. And I've said it many times, one of you taught it to me in Bible school. The lungs, the legs, the arms, all fulfill their purpose, but they don't take the glory. If I say Usain Bolt, a few of you might think of his legs, but most of you will see his face. Because every time he wins a race, we see his face. That's what we see on our screens, that's what we see on our pages. So, does his face do much work? Not too much, it's all quite relaxed in his face. The legs and the arms, and more importantly than that, the lungs and the other parts of his body, those are the ones that do the work. But what do we see? We see his face. So when you think our call, starting with the head, church services, we come together on a Sunday, not primarily to meet each other. We can do that through small groups. But we come together to express our worship, our passion for him. And then the next core, if you move down your body, are the lungs. Intercession is important. We can pray in different ways. Intercession is one of the forms of prayer. We can pray in our small groups, we can pray, have intercession on a Sunday morning here. But intercession, we can do it whenever it's convenient to do it, from parties to do it together. To intercede together. It's as if, you know, we're not breathing if we're not praying. We're not breathing as a church if we're not praying. And then, I talked about my six pack earlier. Small groups are supposed to be small, keep them tight. If we have a small group of 14 or 16, then even that size is too large for the small group to function. By that time, small groups should multiply. Now, I know things are different, especially when children are involved, and when you might work shifts or work far away. But small groups are supposed to be small, so that each person can get and give what they need. Because if you think, if you were to meet on Wednesday in your small groups, if you were each to share what God has done or what trials you've had, and holiday time is often a time for trials. It's great to see family, but often you can end up quite exhausted. Or worse. If we were to share with each other, it would take longer than we have on a Wednesday evening or whenever it is that we meet. Small groups are supposed to be small. Without flab, that's hiding my six pack. What does it mean? It means that there's no one in a small group who just sits there and receives. We all do something, we all not only receive but we give. And small groups are the basic building block of church. It's how we're going to grow through our small groups. If we don't have effective small groups, then congregations won't grow. So let me just explain briefly using this passage in Acts and then a couple of other passages where we get that. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We preach on a Sunday, we teach in Bible school. If you haven't done Bible school, then consider it, and if coming to London's too far or inconvenient for whatever reason, then we can do something here. But it's not just Bible school, it's about Bible study, it's about Bible reading. Many of us in London have been, this past year, going through cover to cover. It's just one of the plans which allows people to read the Bible in a year. It's reordered, not rewritten, but reordered chronologically. So you get Job very early on because it happened much earlier on. And then chop and change through different books. But it's grown quite effective for us just to see kind of the big picture of the Bible. And there's other plans, but That one's one I can recommend because I'm going through it myself. I've used others in the past. We need to know the apostles' teaching. We need to know the Bible. Because often statements of faith might describe it as the ultimate authority in faith and conduct. It's not just what we believe, but this determines what we do. So we don't primarily teach on a Sunday. Some of us like to teach more than others when we're in a pulpit. But in order to know the apostles' teaching, we need to do more than listen to a sermon once a week. Even if we're listening to Fred and Lucille's sermons, we need more than that. And do that. Do listen to sermons from Stellenbosch, because Fred and Lucille usually come here once a year or even less. But if you listen to the sermons, they're all on the website. Usually by a Tuesday they're there, the sermons from the previous Sunday. But we need to be doing more than that. So think, what can you do to strengthen your call in terms of your devotion to the apostles' teaching? And fellowship, I mentioned earlier, for us to have real fellowship, we need to have small groups. If we have large groups, then we're not going to have a depth of fellowship that's required for growth. If you think about a new child and all the attention that they need, the same is true of a spiritual child. Somebody who accepts a message, as we read, believes the message, is baptized. The first step of discipleship is baptism. We don't practice adult baptism, we practice believer's baptism. Anyone who believes, regardless of their age, anyone who believes and understands baptism qualifies for baptism. Devoted to fellowship. If you're going to be devoted, to whom or to what are you devoted? If you think about to whom or to what you're devoted, it can't be wide. Some people can represent their country at more than one sport, but most people would do one. They devote themselves to training and then participating in that sport. Our devotion is to these essentials. But if we're going to be devoted to those, then our commitment in other areas of our life is going to have to balance that. Now, don't think in terms of a pie. For example, I'll give a third of my time and energy and money to my family and a third to my work, and then I've got one third left for church and sports or whatever it may be. Because when we think of life in that way, then it's always a competition. Who's going to get the biggest slice of the pie or the smallest? Jesus said in Matthew 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first. In other words, don't think, how do I split up this pie? Think in terms of priorities. Who comes first? A great thing to do, I do it with all the leaders that we have on in the London side, teaching side. Make a list of your priorities. Beginning of the year is a great time to do it. Just top five things in your life. Because then, when we do that, decisions aren't necessarily easy, but they're simplified. Because then we don't compromise. If we say God is first in our life, then we don't compromise his position as first in our life by anything that's lower down the list. And obviously we have commitments, we've got families, we've got works, and they're given to us, work, jobs, careers, professions, they're given to us by God. But we're told to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and then we're promised all these things will be added to us when we do that. And I just want to give a couple of scriptures from elsewhere, just to show it's not just taking one passage out of context. In terms of attitudes, Paul said this to the church in Philippians, chapter 2 and verse 2. He said, "Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose." Paul's saying to a church that he's developing and discipling from afar, "Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose." In other words, we follow one vision. And there's our vision. So we follow that. We might have other passions. We might have things that God has put on our heart. And there will be space for that, provided it serves the vision. We're one in spirit and in purpose. Like-minded. How do we become like-minded without sharing our minds? And when we share our minds, then we find out our differences. If we're going to honestly share our minds with each other, how do we as a small group reach our neighbourhood? It might be different ways. Hopefully you get to that point. It's not, well, I can understand when someone's new, one person once said, when the small groups grow, do we just say full? That's understandable when someone's new. But that's not what our small groups do. Our small groups grow so that they can multiply. They're the basic building block of the church. Some churches call them cells. That's what cells do. They grow by multiplication so that the whole organism can be healthy. And then there's a few challenging verses here. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. How many miraculous signs and wonders do we do? Let's be honest, not many. Just honest. But Jesus said, I don't know if I've put the scripture there, John 14, verse 12. He said, just before he promised the Holy Spirit, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He, the person, whoever they may be, who has faith in Christ, will do greater things than he did, because he's going to the Father." Now, it doesn't quite make sense. Because he's going away, we'll do greater things. In John 14, Jesus promises Holy Spirit just after this. So he's saying, "I need to go for you to do greater things than I do. I need to go so that Holy Spirit can come. And Holy Spirit has been poured out on all flesh." So this is aspirational. Miraculous signs and wonders. But it's not idealistic. It's not fictional. It's something to which we aspire. So what does it mean? It means we pray for healing. Does it mean we twist God's arm? No, we don't. But we know that God desires to heal. So we go to him and ask. We'll be within our small groups, for neighbours, for others. Jesus promised us that we would do greater things than him, if we have faith. They were together, we read in verse 44, all the believers were together, had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. So what do we have in common? Does anyone have in common a desire for that chocolate? It's even a shofar color, nearly. I bought it because it's the favourite chocolate of someone in our family. that we share with each other. I saw some smiles, but no, no hand. I don't know how you do it here in Weybridge, but in London we do a few things. One, we did a one-off thing just before Christmas called Christmas Lunch on Jesus. And then we do a regular support of Wimbledon Food Bank. So you're not left out on this side. I hope they're going to send some to Trevor at the back as well. So Christmas Lunch on Jesus was something that started in another borough of London, and churches wanted to bless people who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford a Christmas dinner. And so what I did on Christmas Eve, I think it was, maybe just the day before, was deliver a few of these to some of the people that we know. Just people who we know through children's schools. I think Trevor. Thank you. No? Is that good? Give me one. Just a token, just in case I want to show it to you. So, blessing people, there was a CD inside, a DVD, a book, but no preaching, no, we're going to give you this if you come to church, none of that. Just, here's churches, not just one church, but different churches, who've come together and blessed you with everything you'll need, drinks, desserts, turkey, vegetables, everything you need for a Christmas lunch. And then Wimbledon Food Bank. Whenever we have a bring and share meal, we usually bring fresh food to eat, but then dry food to take to the food bank. It's just a good way of keeping in our minds the needs that there are. It says, all the believers were together, they had everything in common. They sold their possessions and goods and gave to anyone as he had need. All I've given you this morning is a little bit of chocolate. But it doesn't mean that everyone has to sell everything. It doesn't mean that. There's times when God tells people to sell whatever, maybe property or whatever we have that's of value to us. But it doesn't mean that we all live in that way. It means that our attitude is like-minded, having the same love, one in spirit and purpose. What does it mean? It means if we see needs, we meet needs. Now, we don't go running here and there after all the different needs that there are, because there are so many different needs. So what do? We see needs as a church, and then we say, how can we fulfill that vision by meeting the needs? One of the things that the leader of the council, Merton Council, said to us is that they have a need for school places in and around Rains Park. So we're meeting that need, but there's lots of other needs. But we're meeting that need because it helps us to fulfill that vision. Because if you have a school, then you have not just children, but you have parents and grandparents and others as well. It helps us to reach nations and generations. If we run after every need, we'll end up tired and unable to meet them. But we see needs, we put those needs against the vision, and then we say, how can we, in keeping our values, in holding on to those values, fulfill this vision, then we look at the need. The vision and the values come first, and then we look at the needs. But there are needs. I don't know the needs in this area. I've never lived in this area. But there are needs in this area. So find them. Meet together as a small group. Just ask your neighbours, what needs do you have? And they'll probably be able to tell you. Jesus also said in the Sermon on the Mount, just before he said, seek first God's kingdom. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. We don't all have to sell our properties. Don't forget, it's not a recipe. We don't sell everything we've had and give it away. If God tells you to do that, then do that. But run it by a few people before you do. Jesus said our outlook, our attitude, has to be not one where we focus on this world, because this world is passing. Does God know that we need houses? Yes. Does God know that we need clothes? Yes. Does he know that children need educating? Yes. But he says, seek first my kingdom. And then he promises to add all these things. Not giving a recipe, I'm saying essentials. If we want God to add to our number, and the final verse from Acts, verse 47 that we read, chapter 4, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. If we can take these essentials, apostles' teaching, knowing what it is, fellowship, meeting with one another, breaking of bread, the last time I think I was here to preach, I preached on communion. Breaking of bread can mean both having communion and having food with each other. And it's probably used in both ways within this passage. 42, breaking of bread. In terms of a devotion to it, I suggest is a devotion to communion, having communion together. But when we read a bit later on about breaking bread in their homes, verse 46, I think that's probably a reference to having meals with each other. I thought about having communion today, but to have communion in your small groups, if you've not met yet this year, it's a great thing to do. Just have communion as a small group. Seek God for his purpose for that small group this year, and then take it to him and have communion. It's a covenant meal. If God lays a neighbourhood or a family or a group of families on our hearts, on your hearts as a small group, then pray that through and have communion. And you'll remember that covenant meal when you see results down the year. Apostles' teaching to fellowship, to breaking of bread, both communion and spending time with one another. If we go into each other's houses and have meals, then we'll find out the needs that there are. But it's not an inward looking thing. The whole point of this is an outward focus, looking out there. We have to put our house in order. We have to have these essentials. But it's not so that we can have good services, or so that we can say we go to a church of so many hundred or thousand. It's not for that. It's so that God's kingdom can come. That's why we highlight these essentials. It's not about, as I said earlier, it's not about me, it's not about I. It's about God, and it's about his purpose. In the New International Version, if you have that, the heading for these verses, says the fellowship of the believers. And I've read from the New International Version, but I prefer the heading from the New King James, which says, just as a heading for these verses, a vital church grows. If you think about vital signs of a patient, it's the things that the patient has to have. They have to be breathing. Their heart has to be beating. These things are vital for a church that's going to grow. And prayer. We need to be praying. Different times during the week with different people, but we need to be praying. If we're devoted to church, if we're committed to church, and I know that times and seasons are different, but we need to be devoted to church services, to intercession, and to small groups. And then we'll be able to, that causing order, then we'll be able to stretch our limbs, to meet people, to reach people, to bring people into God's kingdom. I'm not giving you a recipe this morning, we're going to stop now. But essentials, if we want God to add, and it's his desire to add, so our job is to align our desires with his. If we want God to add, then we need to think, what can I do to strengthen, first of all, as an individual, my call, my commitment to church services, to intercession, to small groups. And then what can I do to strengthen me, especially if I'm a leader? How can I help others to be strong in their cause so that we're able to reach others. Please stand as we close. Just before I pray, do you have communion in small groups? We're not going to have it today. I'm going to leave before ministry time. So please, between yourself and your hand, can you delegate to if there's any prayer needs? And I'm going to pray to close. If you have a prayer need, whatever it might be, maybe Holy Spirit's just encouraged or convicted you of something, then pray through it now. Don't say, I'll wait till Wednesday. Maybe let's wait till Wednesday or small group for communion. But if there's something that Holy Spirit's convicted you of, then please pray through it now. And if you have any need, whatever the need may be, as we saw here, they met each other's needs. Highlight the need, have prayer for that need, and then let's trust God to answer. Let's pray. God, thank you that you are a God who knows us. You know each one of us. God, thank you that you made us fearfully, wonderfully. You made us knowing everything about us. You made us knowing who we are. You made us knowing how we're made and what helps us and what hinders us. But God, thank you that you made us not as an end in ourselves. You made us for a relationship with you. You made us so that through relationship with you, we're able to meet the needs. We're able to fulfill the purpose that you have for us. I just want to pause and ask, if there's anyone who doesn't know that they're in relationship with God, maybe what I just said, you understood some of it and it resonated, but you don't have a frame of reference for that. I'm just going to pause for a few seconds. If you want to have someone pray with you, just ask a bit more. Well, please perhaps just raise your hand now. Make sure somebody prays with you. Father, thank you that those of us who know you have a purpose within your kingdom. God, thank you that your desire is that your kingdom grows and that it extends. And God, we commit ourselves on the first service in this new year to strengthen where you call us to strengthen. Father, thank you that you've given us everything that we need for life and for godliness. And we ask that we'll use wisely that which you've given us to serve your purpose and not ours, so that the earth will be covered, filled with the knowledge of your glory as the waters cover the sea. God, thank you that your kingdom is coming, and we declare that we will be part of that coming. Father, thank you for this congregation. Thank you for Yaku and Hannah, for Abigail and David. Bless them with sun and holiday and rest. Bless them with renewed vision and fervor and vigor. We praise you, Lord Jesus, that you provide what your body needs. God, we will access your provision as we submit ourselves to you this year. In Jesus' name, Amen. Please excuse me, Mary Lord. We do have needs. Prayer, please don't go before that. In that, there'll be some refreshments, so sure.